With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We're recording. We're back again. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth, The Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And it's hometown week. It was a good episode. It was a bizarre ending, but a good episode.
Yeah. I mean, per usual, you know, we should just expect to break down every episode now.
So. Right. but yeah, what were your initial thoughts?
So my first thought, and I just want to bring it to the top of this episode, that we must shout out the U.S. women's soccer team
for being
the baddest bitches on the planet.
Yes.
Okay.
I actually watched. I don't watch soccer. I don't know
anything about this world. I went into the city, had a whole brunch. Oh, yeah. It was like a whole thing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Very inspiring.
So good. They have, I was telling people this, I feel like they have been the best team in the world since we were like five.
Yes, USA women's soccer. I know nothing about soccer, nothing about what the fuck is going on with the World Cup or anything, but I do know USA women's soccer fucking rules.
Yeah. So shout out to them, because Mia Hamm is not still playing and neither is Hope Solo. Like, they have rotated team members.
Yeah,
and they are like still the best team
still in the crushing world. It's awesome.
Yep, love them. Back to The Bachelorette.
Yes.
I have never seen a hometown where they have to convince the lead to be in love with the kid.
Wait, which one are you talking about?
That was Luke's hometown.
Oh, Luke. Oh, yeah, obviously. Yes.
They were like, you know, he's not usually like this.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That's not. I've never seen that personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. And then just really missing Mike. Just really wanted to see a hometown from Mike.
God, I traded fucking Luke's lame ass hometown for a Mike hometown. God damn it.
I know. And last thought about the ending. This girl is so afraid to not get married that it's clouding her judgment between the two worst contestants on the whole show.
Yes. Down to the two fucking duds, and you can't make a decision between either of them. So you
take both.
Oh, God. I can't. And it's no shocker that they were the two at the end that she was deciding
between. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A mess. What do you think, friend?
Agreed. Same very bizarre ending. Mm-hmm. But it really, the ending really brought to light the biggest flaw in this show, which is the whole time crunch and how every week you're spending time talking about fucking nothing. And then suddenly you're down to four. You have to send one home and you're starting to actually feel something for these people. But then you're being forced to send home someone who you haven't even really gotten a full fleshed out chance with. You know what I mean? So it's like it sucks. You're always sending somebody home prematurely who, like, in actual real worlds could probably be like the one for you, but in this mm-hmm. like weird time warp of a vacuum, you might not have had an extra 20 minutes to talk with them or some shit, and so mm-hmm. you feel less connected or whatever the bullshit. But it makes me wonder how many past relationships from the show could have really worked if the lead had more time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, had they, like, one, I feel like a lot of final decisions, like final roses, might not have gone to the people that it was chosen, like who it actually got. Because with each week, you do learn a little bit more with people. So, like, you do, like, every little second counts with someone that, like, let's say you had one extra one-on-one date with someone, it could change you can totally change the whole outcome of the show. Mm-hmm. So it also made me think of, like, all the changes they could make on this show if they really gave a shit about people finding lasting love. Which they don't, because they're trying to make money and it's all about this fairy tale. But, like, if they actually gave a shit and wanted people to, like, have a real, almost real life chance at dating someone, or real life version of dating someone,
mm-hmm.
They would not have as many people at the start. It wouldn't be 30 people. No. They'd cut it down. There'd be more one-on-one dates, smaller group dates, mm-hmm. less fairy tale mm-hmm. dates, and more just like actual sit down and like hangout dates.
Yep.
Maybe more like hometowns is the first time we actually meet someone from the other person's side. If this whole time they've been in a vacuum, but maybe they do more interaction with like family, like bring a friend or have like a random one-on-one date where like their best friend from home shows up or something. Like,
yes,
it just made me think of like all the different changes that they could do to the show to make it more realistic, but they're not. And so here we are again at the end, similar to like Colton and what's her mm-hmm. face? Cassie got to the end. She don't know what the hell's going on. He don't know what the hell's going on. Like, they both don't know what the hell to do. Here we come again. Yeah. Hannah, she's at the end. Four people who she's barely had any fucking time with. And now she has to send one mm-hmm. home. And she obviously doesn't know who to send home because she don't know none of these guys from a can of paint. So it's just, it really, this episode in particular, just really illuminated like that big flaw in the show, which is the very crux of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, and especially by this time, they're all like, "I'm falling in love with you at the minimum."
Yeah, which that's the wild thing. At the very minimum, they're all at the stage of like allegedly saying or feeling as if they're falling in love, and yet
mm-hmm.
we all know how crazy this time crunch is, and she can't even decide who to send home. But yet, y'all are so sure that you're in love. It's wild.
You know what? Everyone did that except Cassie. Cassie.
Cassie was not saying nothing to nobody because she ain't doing shit. She wasn't even going to try to say, "I'm in love," or I don't even remember what she did last season.
She was just like, "I'm so happy you're here."
And it's not you, it's me. She did that. She definitely did the whole "it's not you, that. It's me" foolishness at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so another bizarre ending. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the initial thoughts. As always, shout out to our Patreon crew.
Love you guys.
We are still growing, which is wild. It's just mm-hmm. wild to think there's people that have been here since we started the season, and there's people who are somehow learning about us and are now like joining today. Wild.
And people who listen to us like back during RE season or like Bachelor Winter Games or something.
Shout out to the day ones who've been there since mm-hmm. RE season. I every now and then go back and listen to those seasons just to give myself a laugh because I personally think our first season is one of the funniest because we
mm-hmm.
did not give a fuck.
Not a single one.
Because we didn't think anybody would listen to this shit anyway.
No. Mm-mm.
And then Ari was so fucking dusty. It was fresh off of our, like, Rachel Lindsay high. It was such an amazing season. Mm-hmm. If you're new to Patreon, go back on iTunes or anywhere and you can listen to our first season or any season. Have some fun. But as always, rate, review, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday at the handle number two, black, no, the number two, BLK Girls, the number one rose.
And you can email us at the number two black girls, the number one rose at gmail.com.
Sorry, I just laughed because my brother texted me. Jed's family wasn't even trying.
They weren't.
First of all, I didn't even know he was still watching this bullshit. Second of all, so random. Okay.
That's his initial thought.
Shout out to my brother. But yeah, we're also on Facebook and Instagram. The number two black girls, number one rose. Tag us in your story. Share us with the world. We keep growing the Patreon because you guys keep sharing us with everybody. So
yes.
Shout out to all of you. Yeah. So of course, before we go into the recap, Justine. And then you have some lovely church announcements.
Church announcements. Yes, I do.
Focus the church. So
the first most important one is that tonight, we will be having a live Q&A.
Oh, so, yes.
Yes.
Forgot about that. Totally, you know.
It's okay. Segwayed.
Segwayed,
yes. Right in.
Live stream. It's our monthly live stream for all our Patreon patrons.
Patrons,
yes. Tonight at 8.
Woo! So tonight at 8 p.m., we are the pregame to the ESPYs. So we'll be there with Ashley Spivey, which is really exciting. She'll be on camera with us, having a good time, doing a Q&A, chatting it up. You can ask her and us any questions about New York City, personal lives, work stuff, whatever you want. And there's a poll right now up on Instagram. That's usually the best way to do it. Or you can DM us or send us a message somehow. Mm-hmm. And in order to get to the Q&A, you're going to go to Get Vocal. That's GETVOKL.com. And, just log in with your Patreon info and we'll be there in your face.
Yep.
Same with the app. As well, so if you have the Get Vocal app, it's the same thing.
Yes, join us for the live stream. Last month's was really fun.
Yeah,
we ate dinner in front of everybody and talked about random shit from college. I don't even know, like a bunch of random.
Yeah, no, we played a fun game. It was fun.
Played some games. Yeah, so join us on. Join us tonight. I keep saying on Wednesday. Wednesday. Join us tonight with Ashley Spivey. It's gonna be a good time. Send us your questions. Okay, back to the church announcements.
Regular church announcements. So shout out to everybody who received and took action and did better for your Escape to Wakanda moment this week. That was not Wakanda. Oh. We got some hilarious ones in the Twitter mentions tonight. My favorite happened to be Escape to the Gay Club. That happened to be my favorite one. That was very tickled me. But you guys are hysterical, so you guys had some good ones. Also, shout out to Mike for posting his family on IG, because that's the kind of petty shade that I live for.
He did? I didn't even see that.
He posted his whole family, like a 10 slideshot. I didn't even know you could post that many pictures in one Instagram post of his whole family and how they're not perfect, but they're his queens and all of this. So, hopefully we'll meet them next season.
January. Oh, I'm looking at it now. They're so nice.
Isn't it cute?
This would have been a fun hometown.
Boring-ass hometown. And he has a nice car, too. And then as far as you guys go in your email, shout out to Lisa, Jamie, Lex, and Lara. Lara loved seeing pictures of your horses. Anybody who has pictures of animals, we love seeing your animals. Okay, fine. I love seeing them.
Kidding.
So
I love
much.
Animals, but this Especially, is all just seeing you.
I know. I have a little nuts. So if you want to shed some love, if you want to vent about Luke P, whatever you want to do, email us at twoblackgirlsonerose.com at gmail.com. Yep. And that's it for the church announcements.
Nice. We do get a lot of vent, like Luke P. vent emails, I will say. A lot of subject lines, fuck Luke P. or Luke P. mess or my thoughts on Luke P. That's a heavy
Or thing. My ex-husband, Luke P.'s doppelganger.
Yeah. Yeah, my ex reminds me of Luke P. We get a lot of Luke P. Venting emails for sure. Cool. That's it for church announcements.
That's it. Yep.
I don't have any Bachelor Nation news. Ain't shit really happening in the world. So
yeah,
we just gonna go right into this juicy recap.
Let's go.
All right. So it's time for hometowns. We have Tyler, Jed, Peter, and Luke P. Mm-hmm. Personally, going into this hometown, I didn't know who the fuck was going to go home because it seemed like she was very neck and neck with each of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, I was looking forward to this one to see, just intrigued to see what the hell was going to play out.
You know, I don't really know what Hannah's non-negotiables are.
Nope, don't know shit.
Okay, yeah, just making sure we're all on the same page. Yeah. Okay.
If we knew that, that would have helped me feel a little bit more, like, leaning towards one way or the other on hometowns, but she seems to just be getting along great with all four, so, like, I don't, I don't know. But anyways, we open up in Westlake Village, California, which is Peter's hometown, and she runs and meets Peter. They're in this like beautiful, like a fucking botanical garden or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say park, but it's more than that.
Yeah. And Hannah, she's saying, you know, Peter's so sweet. I see his genuine excitement every time he's with me. When I was little playing with my Barbie dolls, Peter is the man I pictured myself with. Which, I mean, Peter is very like cookie cutter textbook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like Prince Charming, I guess.
Not even Prince Charming, like I can't see him rescuing me type of situation. Or like sweeping me off of my feet, but like promise to take care of me and he'll do it, you know?
Right. Like he's you just actually a feel sure safe thing. And assured. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they meet up, they go for a walk, and then they hop into his very expensive looking
Mercedes-Benz,
yeah, Cooper sports car type thing. I don't know about cars, but it looked very expensive.
Or it could be an S-Class even. It was nice.
It was really nice. At first, I was like, oh, is this like a bachelor car that they gave them? And it was like, no, this was his actual car.
Uh-huh.
This is Peter's personal car. So, okay, Peter, we see you. So when they're driving the car, Hannah, she starts going through his, a console?
Main console, yeah.
And, you know, she's snooping, digging around. She finds a box of mints. And then she finds, like, this little Jesus prayer card. Mm-hmm. And then she finds a condom. Right beneath that Jesus card.
Right? That had me dying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And Peter was obviously, like, a bit embarrassed. But, you know, practice safe sex.
I feel like condoms for guys are like tampons for girls. Like, they just always have,
they just have them around.
Like, lying around.
And I see nothing wrong with that. Be
me
safe.
Either.
I see nothing. I feel like some girls would be like, oh my God, what are you doing with this? And it's like, I like the way you put it. It's like tampons for girls. We always kind of have one laying around. Guys, they out here. And
it could be an emergency. Maybe your friend needs one.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
You never know. Practice safe sex, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they drive to it's like an airport, hangar, tarmac. I don't know the terms.
See, you had no more than me because hangar. I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
I think a hangar is like where they keep the planes. So it was like the outside of a hangar, but like the tarmac. You know. Buzzwords, throwing out these buzzwords.
There are sometimes on this podcast when I really look back and I'm like, damn, you know broke real well, because what, you don't know nothing about this type of dating.
No,
like I don't know nothing about this.
Airplane dates, getting picked up on a private jet. Nah,
nope.
Nope. Happy hour drinks, that's all. That's all we know. 2-for-1 drink specials, about all we can afford. they drive to the airport. We see this little plane sitting there, which is Peter's plane. And he says that they're going to go, you know, flying around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very adventurous person, but these little planes freak me out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting in this one.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People die in these planes all the time. Big-ass commercial all planes, I'm not afraid of. Those things don't really crash. Them little tiny planes, them shits be crashing.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and it always seems like you go in them with no sort of safety requirements. Just a little microphone.
Right. The little headset, one little loose-ass seatbelt.
Seatbelt.
And it's always like this young-ass pilot who's all, like, too eager. Like, yeah. I need a life vest. Yeah. I need to see your credentials, your flight hours, all of that.
Yeah.
I don't trust
them. And I was thinking that, too. Like, is this the plane you flew to New Orleans in? Because this is teeny.
Right, when
tiny.
He said he flew. Yeah, what was he talking about? He said he flew a girl to New Orleans from L.A. I feel like that shit would run out of fuel halfway through and crash and not make it to L.A. to New Orleans. Unless they stop halfway for fuel. I don't know how this shit works.
Yeah, but I don't know either.
Either way, I'm not getting in it. So kudos to Hannah. She's brave.
Yeah.
So anyways, they go flying over L.A. They fly over the Bachelor Mansion. Peter's talking about how, you know, passionate he is about flying, how excited he is to share it with Hannah. At one point, they fly over Peter's house. He points it out, and then down below, his parents are, like, waving at them.
I know. His mom was like, there's Peter.
Yeah.
So
that's
cute.
My boy. I love the mom. We'll get to her.
I loved every parent on this episode.
Really?
Pretty much all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, there were some good ones. There were some good ones on this one. Peter's mom was definitely my favorite, I think, overall. But anyways, they fly over his house, they end up landing, and they sit back on the hangar and just kind of, like, sit and chat. This date, I mean, aside from me being terrified of the flying part, like, it's a pretty amazing date. Like, I would say Peter from the beginning with the pilot thing and just kind of leading with the pilot thing, he's continuing to lead with the pilot thing, and it works, because this was a very impressive date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wowed Hannah, it wowed me. Yeah, that pilot thing just, it goes far.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, because he's been saying this in probably every episode, and it still is like,
still
oh
working.
My god, wow.
Yeah, still working. Peter is just saying, you know, I'm falling crazy for you, and you could tell he's so in love with this girl. He's so, there's no doubt in his mind. All the other guys, there might be like a tinge of doubt or a tinge of something. Peter is like 100% in love with Hannah, ready to like be done with this today.
Yeah. Yep.
He tells her, like, I've not felt like this happiness you give me. I've never felt this this way before. So eventually they arrive at Peter's house and we meet his mom, his dad, his little brother, Jack, who... Mm-hmm. I learned on Instagram is also a pilot, so kind of runs in the family. Yes.
And the dad? That is such an odd
and
family tradition.
The dad. Yeah. That's true. I forgot. The dad is a pilot and the mom was the flight attendant. Yeah.
Yeah, and like Miss Indianapolis or whatever.
Or whatever, yeah. But yeah, the mom, love her, so adorable. She was so
cute.
Welcoming. Arms stretched wide, like so happy to see Peter, so happy to see Hannah. Like this, if I'm Hannah, this is like the first hometown I want to step into.
Yes, yes. And you see where Peter gets his like demeanor from, and it's totally his mom.
Yes.
Which is so cute.
Very genuine and pleasant and open and compared to some other skeptical parents we saw in this hometown, like his mom was like totally on the other end of the spectrum.
So
open and ready for anything that Peter or Hannah was about to say.
Yeah. Like you said, she's like a golden retriever, like Peter is.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. She was like a nice, golden. So they sit and chat. Hannah talks to them about how she like really challenged Peter to open up and then just talked about how they're perfect, essentially, like the two of them. They get along so well. Mm-hmm. Everything is all hunky-dory. And then the mom was like, all right, are you ready for some Cuban food? And I was like, okay, this is the little ethnic flavor. We knew there was some Spanish type of something. But now we know Peter is Cuban, or at least the mom is Cuban, which means Peter's Cuban, obviously. But then they sit and eat, and then they do a German prayer. I was like, okay, we're very, this is a very international, multinational
yes.
family right now.
Yes, and I feel like Hannah got no warning, which is not fair.
Yeah, I feel like she had no idea, because they launched into this quote-unquote German prayer, which is basically a whole bunch of loud chanting in German.
Yes.
Over cumin food. Like, Hannah, I don't know. She's like, where am I? What is happening? I'm just wrapping my head around the fact that you even speak Spanish. Now I'm here hearing German. I'm eating plantanos. Like, what is this? a lot of stuff that she was not prepared for.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they eat. Peter gives us, you know, cheers. He's all choked up, and they're all like kissing at the table and shit. Like, they were very just secure in their love.
There was just a lot of emotionalism at this table.
Mm-hmm. Oof. A lot of emotions and open display of affection for each other.
Yes. Yeah. And culture. It was just a lot. It was a lot of stimulation. I'm not going to lie. This is overwhelming for me to watch.
It was overwhelming. Oof. The chanting took it over the top. I could have done without the chanting.
The food, I'm totally open to.
Hell yeah. I love Cuban food.
Cuban food is favorites. So good. But then, like, the crying. I feel like his dad was crying, or maybe the brother. Somebody else was crying. I don't know. It got to be a lot.
It was a lot, yeah. So Hannah, she sits first with Jack, the brother, who lets her know that Peter is a hopeless romantic. He's all in. This is typically how he rolls. And then he asks her, like, are you in love with each other? Have you guys talked about this stuff? Hannah's like, no, we haven't. And it was like this awkward pause.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be here if I weren't on the same track. Yada yada. Peter, meanwhile, sitting with his mom, and the mom was just so adorable to me. She was like, she was just so giddy. She's like, does she make your heart go ping, ping, ping? Do you remember that?
Oh my god, yes. That was so cute.
It was so cute. Your heart go ping, ping, ping. What is that? I've never heard that in my life.
There is not a more perfect grandmother for my babies. It is Peter's mom.
Yes, absolutely. I would leave her with any newborn, and they would be so loved and cherished. But yeah, Peter tells his mom, you know, Hannah just doesn't compare to any other girl. The mom asks, are you in love? He says, yeah. I think he says yes, right? Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you said I love you yet? And he tells her no. But then he says, I know the connection I have with Hannah, and she's my person.
Aww.
It's a very bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
The mom starts crying immediately, because this whole family just wears their emotions on their sleeve, which
everybody,
very healthy. I mean,
yes, that's true.
This is way more healthy than families who are just like all buttoned up and nobody's showing any emotion. So
yeah.
I'd rather this. But yeah, the mom's just super happy. I want the world for you. I love you. Your happiness means everything to me. Just being a typical supportive mom in a situation where she can rightly be very skeptical.
Yeah.
But she's choosing to just see how happy her son is and just go with that. Hannah sits with the mom afterwards, and the mom tells her point blank, like, he is head over the heels for you. He is head over heels for you. And it scares me because you're dating three other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah's like trying to reassure her, you know, I can see Peter at the end of this, saying the same, you know, bullshit. And the mom's just like, again, she's just so accepting. And even though she's so terrified, her son is one of four, she don't know this girl from nothing. And she's still just so happy to see how happy he is and how happy this girl makes him that she's just, again, burst into tears. I just wish God will find a path for you, and of course I'd love it to be with my son. Like, just so
That's
accepting
so
and sweet.
Nice.
I know, so nice, so nice.
And now thinking about it, the girls get it so much like the bachelorette gets it so much easier than the bachelor when it comes to hometowns.
Yeah.
Because the bachelor has to sit down with the dad and be like, do you take my daughter's hand in marriage?
Yes.
Like, it's OD.
That's true. That's one element that's, like, missing out of the hometowns, is the whole asking for permission nonsense. That's completely taken out. But, yeah, there's no... you're right. There's always like a thing about your boyfriend meeting the dad and like two men sitting down and being grilled. But with a girl, it's just you're meeting everybody and there's no like, I guess meeting the mom is like a thing, but it's not, at least they don't show it to be on the show, really.
Yeah, they don't put the pressure on the mom, probably. The production, I'm sure, doesn't put the pressure on the mom to say, like, ask about marriage with Hannah or whatever.
In that way, yeah. Peter sits with his dad, lets him know, again, that's my person. Which is just, that's such a heavy loaded statement to say that someone is that your person. Like, that is you saying you're in love with them, that's your person for life, like, that's your... That's your ace. That's your everything. And so saying that's your dad, and this is the first time he's meeting her, he don't know her from nothing. And he just has to receive that and accept that. It's just so, I always feel for the parents because it's a lot to take in.
Yeah, that's really shocking.
And the dad, he's seeing how full on Peter is. So he flat out asks, like, are you prepared for you not like winning at the end of this? Like, you can tell the dad is so terrified because Peter being a hopeless romantic is like the theme of the hometown. Like, the mom, the brother, the dad, they're all kind of hinting at, like, this is Peter, like, he's full on, he's all in, he does this. And so it's kind of terrifying to, like, be going through this shit again with your son, and there's a chance he's not going to make it to the end, and it's like, are you preparing for this or not? Like, there's a 25% chance that you're going to win, so you gotta figure that out.
And now that we know that Peter broke up with his then girlfriend,
right before the show,
you know, the relationship for this show, and now he's almost there, and then to not win, woof.
Just, that's a lot.
And he still lives at home. They don't want to take care of him all day.
Oh, I forgot about that. No. I forgot he still lives with them. They all up in his love life then. So they are fully, that's why they're so emotional, because they see, he's still living at home. They see every girl. They see every up and down. He has a bad day with the girlfriend. Who's he talking to? His mama, you know? So versus if you live off on your own, you might talk to your friend first. You might talk to yourself, like.
So
they've been through it, looks like. So yeah, the dad, he just, it's nice to see you two together. And then the dad starts breaking down, crying.
Crying.
And just kept repeating, like, I want the best for you. I want the best for you. Which is, as parents, that's typically what you want. Even though this might not be the way that you envisioned your son going to find love. Just seeing him so happy, that's like all you can really ask for as a parent. They give their final goodbye to the family, head outside and chat. Peter tells her again, I'm falling so hard for you, but I'm okay with it. I'm so happy with where we're at. It's been so perfect in so many ways. Saying all these little, you know, epithets and great things about her, but still didn't say the I love you.
Which he should have,
as we know. At the end of hometowns, you gotta drop the I love you.
You got to, Peter.
That's what seals you in for the next date, or the next round.
For fantasy
suite, the next round, Jesus.
The next round?
This is a competition show, shit. Who are we trying to pretend? But yeah, dropping that I love you is crucial. That usually will solidify you into the next round. If you don't say it, then there's always like a lingering thing of doubt in the lead.
Yes.
So Peter didn't say it. And he said in his confessional, I wanted to tell her so badly, but as strong as I feel, it's still kind of scary and I still don't know where she's at. So, yeah. And as she drove away, he did say, I wish I had said something.
No.
Yep. Regret is not a good feeling, my friend. But anyways, time to go to Jupiter, Florida.
Oh, yes, it is.
For our man, Tyler C., who, had you noticed he always refers to her as Hannah Brown?
Yes.
He always says her full government name. Tyler C. So she does the classic run, jump, hug, and they meet at this, like, beautiful-looking lighthouse, and Tyler says the best way to explore Jupiter is by boat. So they get on his, I'm guessing his boat, his family boat.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, in their bathing suits, lathering each other with sunblock.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler's body literally is unreal.
Oh my god.
Just abs, just there. Like no flexing, sculpted. They're just there. So Hannah, she says, you know, there's no denying the attraction between Tyler and I, but I'm worried about Tyler being ready for the next step. So that's what she's trying not to get blinded by that jawline, them abs.
The jawline.
That tight ass. She's trying to
listen, stay that focused. Curl in the front of his face, like mm-hmm. everything.
Everything. So yeah, they basically spend the day just driving around in the boat. He's pointing out different spots. The water was beautiful. It looked amazing, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't know about
nice.
Jupiter, but it looked really beautiful. And Hannah says in her little interview, you know, Tyler lives in paradise. Mm-hmm. And a future with Tyler is this, which made me laugh because we know now Tyler lives in New York City. And so, yeah, the beautiful waters, you would be trading
yeah,
that for some.
Guess what it ain't, girl.
Yes.
What paradise.
It ain't that. Give me some trifling ass subway rats.
Right?
But, yeah, that's what you get over here.
Also, it made me think, like, damn, you are really ready to just give it all up. Like, there's no chance nobody's moving to Alabama.
Right. Hell no. She's trying to get her ass out.
Moving to wherever.
There.
Yeah.
I don't blame her.
Yeah, me either.
So while they're in the water, he points out the house where he grew up. So it was like this really nice house on mm-hmm. the water. And he kind of talked about how things changed when like the recession hit and their family kind of lost their money, had to move out, all that stuff. But after the boat, they kind of sit and talk. And Tyler reveals that he hasn't seen his dad since he left for the show, obviously, when his dad was still pretty sick.
Yeah.
And so he was saying how his dad was like in pretty bad shape when he left, you know, his voice was kind of like gone or like pretty raspy. Mm-hmm. He had lost a lot of weight, and he pretty much left everything to like his brothers and his mom and just
yeah.
hope that everybody kind of stepped up and rallied around. So he was like warning her that like the reunion could be like emotional cause he like hasn't
mm-hmm.
seen his dad and just went into this whole kind of spiel about just like wanting my dad around forever and I want him to see my wife and my kids and so it's going to
yeah.
be a very emotional
so
moment. Yeah. So yeah, after that nice emotional sit down, suddenly we hear some music playing in the background and Tyler's like, let's go jam. And it's this like classic dingy like tiki bar
yeah.
washed up cover band.
Yeah, it looked like a vacation like cruise ship offshore.
Yes, carnival cruise.
Like steel drum. Just one steel drum though, not more than one.
Nah,
just the one.
The one. It's kind of dented in the side. This was obviously my Escape to Wakanda moment.
Oh yeah.
Oh Lord. And I'm mad Tyler made his own fucking double doors moment. Like on the stage. Why? Why do we need this? It was going so well. I did not need this dry, like classic rock tiki band to be playing.
Classic rock tiki band.
You know, like classic rock cover bands that people be going to see.
Yes.
Could have done without
no.
that. But yeah, anyways, they leave the beach, they head to Tyler's home. Tyler's home is a ginormous mansion.
Yeah, I was like, recession where?
Recession where? Y'all had a huge come up. Because this house shits on that one you pointed out on the water. Fuck.
Yeah, that was confusing, but mm-hmm. okay. Yeah.
But whatever, everybody has a little turnaround story.
And you know what? His parents are divorced, right? So I could see the bachelor renting a house and being like, this is the house.
Oh, my God. I hope they didn't do all that. That is too much. That is too much. I forgot that his parents were divorced. But, yeah, they didn't really say
yeah.
whose house that was. But
yeah.
either way, it was huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very, very large. So, anyways, they head inside. They turn the corner. There's, like, mad people sitting there. It's like his mom's dad, brothers, bunch of other randoms. And Tyler, of course, heads to his dad first, which was so sweet. They're having their little tearful reunion, but he wasn't crying, but
he was just like very confessional though.
Yeah, his confessional, he was tearing up for sure. But yeah, he was very just like happy to see his dad, and they're just like having a nice little father-son moment. And they sit and chat with the family. They kind of talk about the first night. Mm-hmm. At this point, this is when I was looking around at all the family. Because remember, mm-hmm. I was like, I want to mm-hmm. see where this man comes from. Mm-hmm. Good looking family. Tyler's mm-hmm. by far the prettiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, they all look brothers, good, but like, he's like a different category of beautiful.
The brothers to me looked real young.
Yeah, they did.
Like that 18, one brother 19. Who was talking to Hannah in their like little one-on-one time, he like still had, he looked like he needed proactive.
He still had acne. I was like, you are still freshly in high school.
Yeah, like your hormones are still out of whack.
Like, so he still needs proactive
care. You know what I mean? Like he's still so young, so I can't mm-hmm. expect him to be like gorgeous when that's you're true. 16.
He can grow into it. He has time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if your brother looks like Tyler, then you can feel good that you have
most likely a good future ahead of you. Mm-hmm.
So Tyler, he sits with his dad first thing, just wants to check up on his dad about his health. Dad assures him he's doing good. He had like issues with his voice. His voice was like a little raspy, but otherwise doing well. And then Tyler kind of talks about just, you know, brings up again, like, how he got sick and, like, signing away his rights was, like, one of the hardest things he ever had to do. And this means the world to him that he's here today and that he gets to meet Hannah and all that stuff. And the dad in his confessional was just like, I haven't seen my son this happy in a long time. And similar to Peter's parents, he said, like, as a parent, that's all you can ask for. That's all you can wish mm-hmm. for.
But I can only imagine being a parent who's had a son who was a caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
How much his happiness is more valued for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's had to sacrifice at an early age for mm-hmm. his parents. So. Yeah.
And then also seeing that even after the caretaking and the difficult times, he's still able to, like, get back out there and, like, find love and get what he needs and everything. Yeah. So it must feel really good as a parent. So meanwhile, Hannah is sitting with the brothers, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And she flat out asks them, like, can you see Tyler getting engaged? And one of the brothers was like, look, when my dad was in the hospital, Tyler stepped up. He ran the family business. Mm-hmm. He helped my mom out. He really stepped up and was like that person for everyone to lean on. And seeing him now, I can legitimately see my brother getting engaged. That was like
nice.
A good little sign off there.
Yeah.
From the brother.
And he didn't look prepped either. Mm-mm. He looked like that was really what he thought.
That really is what he thought about his brother. Mm-hmm. So that was very reassuring for Hannah. And so Tyler sits with his mom, and she flat out asks, like, what have you learned the most about yourself in this whole mm-hmm. process? And he says, you know, I'm usually very protective of my emotions. I'm usually hard to, you know, open up. But what he realized was he had to open up quickly with Hannah and confided mm-hmm. in her about certain things. And it just showed him what a big step that was, that he could do that with someone.
Right.
So, like, he really pushed himself and realized, oh, wow, like, I actually can be vulnerable and open with someone. And was able to do that with Miss Hannah B.
Yeah. I don't know. It just is. Cause, sorry, I'm thinking about how Hannah's like, I just need to see more from Tyler and if he's really ready for this or not. And he's like opening up to the point that he never thought he could be, and she's not giving him any credit for that.
Mm, yeah.
That's really annoying. And also, he's like the swaggiest one. And mm-hmm. he's the finest one. So this is just really, really aggravating. His dad's really nice. His mom had on a full set of lash extensions ready to be on camera. I love this family. I don't know. He had loafers, no socks. Like, he just looked great.
He looked great. So great. I think it's hard. Like, I see what you're saying. I think it's hard, though, because Hannah, she only knows this Tyler. She doesn't know the previous Tyler, who was, like,
that's true,
very closed off. So she can only go based off of what she knows, which to her is, like, decently open, but it's not, I guess, open enough for her. But for Tyler, this is, like, the most open he's ever been. He's fucking vulnerable, like, crying all the time. Like, he's never done this before. So it's just,
Riding levels. Horses, like, eating raw fish.
Right, doing all kind of extra shit. Which is big for him, but for her, she doesn't know, you know, any better. He doesn't know any better. So, yeah, that's where it gets a little icky with these people because they do not know each other. There's always going to be a little bit of mismatch there.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. The mom asks him, can you see yourself proposing? And he says, it scares me, but there's no doubt I can certainly be that guy.
No.
Hannah sits with the dad. Dad says, you've got me worried about him. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know. It could be love. And I didn't expect that at all. Like, he's seeing Tyler, how happy he is and in love. And he's like, I was not expecting any of this.
Yeah.
He also admits that Tyler has not had a lot of girlfriends. So
that is
this is, like,
interesting.
Major. Interesting. Yes. Interesting. Also not surprising. I feel like...
Not at all.
Okay. I was like, yeah. When you have a face like that, why tie yourself down?
Why bother?
Hannah asks the dad, do you think he's ready? Dad says, you know, he's 26. He's at that point in his life. Which, that, you know, I just have to laugh. Want to
die.
Our old New York City dusty ass, unmarried ass.
That made me want to shrivel up like a raisin. I was like, he has so much more in front of him.
I know, than behind.
At 26 years old, if I married the nigga I was with when I was 26, I would have been divorced.
Damn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 26 was definitely like a big, still like a transition age. Like, I was going through a lot. So I couldn't, when they say, like, when he said he's 26, he's at that point in his life. Like, if I think about me at 26 at that point in my life, like,
I'm a girl. Like, a dude who's 26 who hasn't had that many girlfriends, quote unquote. Like, what? Right. But I guess they do make the point. Tyler makes the point about his father being sick. He wants his father to see his wife and his kids and all this other stuff. So that I can see. But the age? Nah.
Yeah. Oof. But yeah, he says he's 26 and, you know, you can't plan to fall in love, but I'm excited for him and where he's at, and you have our love and support. And yeah, so she got another family that's like right on task, ready
it's
to
not difficult.
Just sign away their son. Ready for this.
Yeah.
And yeah, she said she left feeling very assured of Tyler's intentions. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards they leave, say bye to everybody. They head outside, sit and chat. And Tyler.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Taylor's just saying how this was everything he's needed, so excited to be moving forward, and says, I do feel like I'm falling in love with you. And I think this was the first time he said that, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's dropped the L word. Oh, the falling in L word.
Yeah.
And he walks her to the SUV, and they literally can't keep their hands off each other.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame her, girl. I wouldn't either.
Mm-mm. This is like a moment of silence for Tyler's tight ass in
those
pants.
Did you notice? Okay.
Yes.
I didn't even notice. Yeah,
he had on, like, the button down was nice and fitted. And then the pants were usually a little bit tighter than I'd like on a guy, but they were tight and you could see the full outline of his ass. So nice. It was a beauty to be seen. especially at the end when he was like walking her to the SUV, you got like a full glimpse of his ass. So they're in the SUV, they're straddling, doing the classic Hannah straddle, they're making out. The driver in the front of the seat is like, what the fuck is going on? Can y'all hurry this up?
Yeah,
I'm not trying to see this.
Right.
Then he packs her up and she ships off. So two hometowns down, two solid families who are totally in support. Now we head to Gainesville, Georgia for Luke P's hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Now Hannah says, you know, he was the first to tell me he was falling in love with me. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's been very up and down, but I've always seen the good in Luke.
Yep.
You and you alone, my friend.
That's it, because not even he sees the good in Luke. Not even Luke sees the good in Luke.
Right, so. You alone, girl.
And we learn later, not even his family neither, so. What?
So Luke, she meets up with Luke beside this like beautiful lake, and he says, you know, I want to bring you to something I do every week, and it's an opportunity for you to meet some of my friends, and let's go to Sunday school.
This is my escape to Wakanda moment.
Okay.
I'm already, before they even walked into the building, and after they walked into the building, I actually have paragraphs that I wrote, but I'm going to keep it short.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, I went off. Ooh. So... first of all, numero uno, why are you a grown-ass man calling it Sunday school?
Sunday school, ain't this Bible study?
It is absolutely Bible study.
Okay, exact verse, I thought when he said Sunday school, they were going to go teach kids, like, at actual Sunday school. So when it looked, and I turned around and looked, it was just Bible study, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that shows me that either you don't go to church or you go to a weird church where they still call that Sunday school. So I'm already gone. And then he brought her inside, did not introduce really well, had like 40 people there standing up and clapping.
Mm-hmm.
Who I clearly were hired or just... That's the whole congregation of the church, maybe? I don't know. But it was very obvious to me.
Ministry or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Maybe, you know what? Maybe it was.
Yeah. Because
people, it's funny, people like age faster down there because they're like, their course of life goes faster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, some of them looked way older, but they definitely could be his age.
Yeah, I think so.
But get me to Wakanda because this is not Sunday school. This is Bible study. And the fact that you didn't know that was really just upsetting and terrible.
You're just done with it.
And I'm going to go off a little bit later. But yeah, okay. That's that.
All right. So Luke, after he brings her in, introduces her to all the people, yada yada, they sit down for Bible study. He gets up in front of everybody and does his same tired, now it's just getting tired, the same tired testimony, which this was my nigga, you ain't shit moment.
Oh, I had a very specific sentence for this nigga, you ain't shit moment.
Okay.
Continue. This, yes.
Yep, this whole thing. But basically, same shit. You know, in high school, I was experimenting with partying and drinking. In college, I was chasing sex, got caught up in all kinds of sin. And then I remember getting in the shower one day and bawling my eyes out. And I heard God say, Luke, let go and follow me. And feeling like this huge weight had been lifted off of me. And then I saw a hole open up in the in the ceiling. I saw a glimpse of heaven. And I knew that that's what I needed to focus on. Same tire testimony that is still up for debates as to whether it actually happened. Because we can't believe shit this guy says.
No, and that story is crazy. How do you use the, you can't use the word of God like this in this absolutely frivolous manner and be fearful of him. There's no way. And that's what you're doing. You're using God's word to be manipulative while, well, you're not even using God's word because I didn't hear not nan a verse in that whole speech. So let me take that back. You just using, I don't know, the word God's name in vain, I guess.
Yeah.
And his kingdom. And yes. You are clearly not fearful. You are just using this to toy with this girl. And at the very end, he said, God is going to use this for a positive if you are going through a negative situation. Luke, you could have Googled a Bible verse that is equivalent to that, and you just didn't even bother. That, in particular, was my nigga, you ain't shit moment, because there was just no evidence that he had ever gone to church while he's standing in this all-wooden Bible study cabin. Like, I was so done, you guys. I was so, so, so done. I cannot believe somebody is using God like this on the show. Like, I am so disgusted with this man.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, did you see he had on jean on a blue polo shirt?
Oh, God. I don't be looking at him that deep. He was wearing all that?
Oh, my God. He was wearing all of that. He was wearing a baby blue polo, a jean jacket, and jeans. I was like, sir, you have to try harder. You are 5'8".
Yes.
Oh, God.
You need to step up your style. You can't be wearing Canadian tuxedos when you look like this.
No. It makes you look littler. Oh, my God. I can't. No. No. We got to go move on before I keep going. Nope.
So after he gives his tire testimony, they kind of break out into, like, little breakout groups, basically. I don't know.
It's like now they're doing small groups in the Bible study? And this is all before church? Like, what?
Yes, this is all before church.
You there all day?
So they're sitting with a bunch of guys, his alleged friends, who just go on and on, talk about how great he is and awesome, and Luke is the sweetest guy ever. And this other girl saying how, yeah, Luke is friends with everybody, and just all saying, again, nothing specific, just Luke is nice, Luke is great, Luke is awesome to all of us, he's a great friend to all of us, and very hard to believe, but, I mean, okay. At the end, they do a whole big prayer over Luke and Hannah, and I just don't know what to make of this whole segment.
Of this flash mob Bible study that he put together?
Flash mob Bible study? I mean, we can joke and say these people were paid, but I don't think these people were paid. I do believe these are actually the people that he goes to Bible study with. I don't think they're lying, but, like, how is this the same Luke? It doesn't make sense in my head.
When I think back, to Bible study days, right? Like young adult Bible study days, I could easily have come in with some dude and a camera crew, and those people would have said that same thing about me.
Oh, okay.
They probably would have told some more specific stories because, you know, I was a little outspoken. Mm-hmm. But they probably would have said very general things because I didn't really, like, bang with a whole lot of them like that.
Okay.
So that's probably the people who she talked to. And honestly, he probably doesn't hang out with those people that much because I remember his first ever scene was in the gym. There was no church in his first, like, little video on the first episode. So, yeah, they probably just all said nice things because they're all probably nice Christian people. So they're going to say nice things. That's a good point. About him, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so, the whole thing. Just, I mean, I knew going to Luke's hometown, it was going to be heavy Christian, a lot of Christianness just forced down our throats. I'm not surprised he brought her to Bible study for their, like, the first segment of their date. It's just so, I don't know. He's just such a terrible human. It's just bizarre seeing this side of his world that, like, he genuinely is a part of. Like, I do believe he goes to Bible study and, like, knows these people, but he's also a pathological liar who is narcissistic and can't get along with people, and I don't know what to make of this dude.
Plenty of them niggas are in Bible study, and you can tell he's not listening because he again said not nan one verse. I can go
Justine is so fed up.
I'm perturbed.
So after Bible study, they head, or sorry, after Sunday school.
Sunday school?
They head to Luke's family's house, where we meet his dad, brother, his sister-in-law, who's also named Hannah, his mom, his grandma, his great-grandma, every damn body. And they sit and chat, and Hannah talks about how, you know, during the first week, he told her that he was in love or falling in love. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it was all downhill. Yeah. And she didn't go play by play of, like, all the drama, but basically was saying how, like, he wasn't getting along with people in the house, how the two of them weren't really getting along. And it was just, it's been a rocky road with this dude. And the dad, he was like, oh, but he had you on his side, right? And Hannah was like, nope, not always. Actually, no. And she said for, like, 3 weeks, they never really had, like, a real conversation. It was her constantly trying to, like, break him down to, like, be real and, like, talk about his feelings and things like that. Now the family, they're all hearing this about how Luke ain't shit and was a terrible person for the last month and nobody liked him and he's barely here today. And they're all just like, what? Oh my God, that's not our Luke. What?
Yeah.
The dad in the confessional is like, hearing the stories, that's just not my son. I can't even envision this.
Like, it seems like there's a lot of people making excuses for this man.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is your son, though. Like, this is him. He didn't just go on The Bachelor and develop a whole new personality. Like, that is him. So, sure, it could be a more heightened version because he's in a vacuum. There's a lot of pressure. He's competing with all these guys, things like that. But at the end of the day, like, that's him. Like, that's how he operates. Like,
right.
So, yeah. So Luke sits with his dad, and he says, "You know, for the last week and a half, it's been great with Hannah."
Did you notice that there were several Bible verses on the chalkboard behind them and a cross in the frame when they were pointing to Luke? Because I did.
Jeez, I did notice the crosses just throughout their home. it's heavy. They're throwing it at us. Luke is Christian. He's leading with that. If Hannah wasn't who Hannah was, who was like a Southern Christian girl, this whole hometown would have been completely structured differently.
Oh yeah. No, completely different. Yeah.
So that's what makes it feel even more slimy. Mm-hmm. Because he's pushing the Christian, because he's using it as like a novelty or a token to show like, this is like, this is why I'm better than the other guys. Remember, I'm Christian like you. But if Hannah wasn't Hannah and she wasn't Christian or anything like that, he would not be doing the same thing. So I don't, I don't like, similar to what you're saying, like, I don't like how he's using Christianity in that way.
And this would be the same for any religion. I would, I feel sensitive towards this because I'm Christian, but this would be the same for anything. This would be terrible.
Yeah, yeah. So he says, you know, we have a spiritual connection. I've gotten to see sides that no one else has. Which, I don't know what, you've got to see angry sides of Hannah, but what other sides has nobody else seen? I'm not sure what he's talking about there. And just says, like, I love this girl. I can't see this not working out in the end. Which is the same mindset he's had from week one, that he is
the whole
This whole time. He came in love with this girl, ready to marry this girl, even before he met the damn girl. And we're still there. Hannah now, she's sitting with Luke's brother and sister-in-law. And she says to them, like, I did somewhat see what the guys in the house were also seeing when it came to Luke. And she said, in particular, the fact that he kind of acts like he has it in the bag and like he doesn't have to, like he's won the thing, basically. And just how arrogant that comes off. And again, the brother, you know, that's not like how Luke is. I don't, like, that's not Luke at all. Then who the fuck is Luke? Because everybody in his family keeps saying that that's not Luke. That's not Luke. Oh, that's so shocking. That doesn't sound like Luke. Then who is Luke? Because who has he been for the last month if that wasn't him?
And can you give me some examples of how he's treated his last girlfriends? Like, how do you know this isn't like him in a relationship?
Give me some examples.
Yeah.
But that kept getting on my nerves because it was just, it kept, like, if you keep saying, oh, that's not him, that doesn't sound like him, then what has she been, who has she been with for the past month, and why is, how did he make it to the end if that's not even who he is? Now who am I dating? If you're telling me that's not, that's not who he is, now I'm at hometowns, you're saying this is the actual real Luke. What if I don't like the real Luke? This ain't who I liked over the last, I like that crazy narcissistic psychopath for the last month. I don't know who this is. So, like, that shit kept irking me because they weren't giving me nothing. So yeah, the brother goes on this whole long rant defending Luke, talk about how he has such a big heart and he's such a great guy, and Hannah just, you know, I've always seen his heart. There's something there when he shows the real Luke. It's like, what do they keep saying this real Luke, Luke, the past Luke, the current Luke? Why does he get so many opportunities to be so many fucking Luke?
Post-shower
Luke. I've never seen somebody who gets so many chances at having different personalities. Like, this is crazy. Hannah sits with the dad. You know, it's been a wild ride with your son. I do think our relationship has gotten stronger, though. And the dad is like, yeah, Lucas, it was weird to hear all the things that was going on with Luke. Luke is actually the one to stop people from fighting, and he's the one that helps turn it all around. And that's, again, like, none of this is matching up.
Yeah, that's also a terrible metaphor and not a real example. Right. That could have been a real story, but you chose a weird metaphor.
Luke is the one to stop people from fighting and turns it all around. Not sure what that means, but
he's actually the people to start the fighting.
Right.
And turn it all around.
Yes, stirring that shit all around, basically. She asked the dad, will he be ready for an engagement? He said, there's no doubt.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That they know.
That they definitely know. Luke sits with his mom. His mom is beautiful, by the way. Full head of gray hair, but she looked so young.
Gorgeous. Yes. Yeah, she looked like she maybe got the gray hair real young, like in her 30s or something, and just like went with it.
Like, yeah, grew into it. But she was so pretty. And, you know, she's just letting him know, like, be yourself. Let Hannah see your heart, how beautiful you are. And she's, you know, starts crying and all that. And, yeah, same thing, just happy for her son, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So Hannah and Luke, they say bye to everybody. They head outside to chat. Luke tells Hannah, you know, I've put you through quite a bit, quite a struggle, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry. Mm. Which we've heard this before, so what?
Whatever.
He's said sorry so many times. I wasn't really sure what this sorry was
supposed to. I guess she roasted him to his entire family, so he had to say sorry for something.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Constantly in a state of apologizing. And he says to her, you know, there's still any concerns with me, but I can just keep showing you who I am. I feel like I'm looking at my future wife, and without a doubt, I do love you. And then they finish it off by having a very heavy makeout, which I did not particularly want to see.
No, me either.
Nope. And Hannah in her confessional, she's all bubbly-eyed, wide-eyed. You know, I feel so confident in him. And, you know, what he says, I feel like this is where she kind of had a little Freudian slip. She says, I feel like I've fallen in love with him. I'm falling in love with him. Mm-hmm. So, like, first she says, I've fallen in love. And now she corrects herself and says, I'm falling in love. So, what heard you the first time, girl? And
yeah.
This brings me back to Dustin when he left the house and he said the only way he can see Luke still being there is if Hannah is already in love with him.
Look at Dustin the prophet.
Mm-hmm. It all comes back together. So yeah, that was that. So then we head into our last hometown, which is Jed. Oh, all right. So
I was looking forward to this one.
Yep,
I was like,
me
what
too.
Story did he craft for these
What are you gonna come with, Mr. Jed? Lord. So they're in Sevierville, Tennessee.
Yeah,
she meets him, they do the classic run jump hug, and we got reminded that last week Hannah told Jed that she was falling in love with him.
Yeah.
So part of me kind of forgot about that, but that's what we're going into this week. He's the only guy that she has. He's the only guy, right, at this point that
yes, she has said it to him.
To him. Yeah. So he essentially is, I would think, like the front runner, I think, going in.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's gotten, like, verbal validation. Mm-hmm. So for their date, surprise, surprise, they head to a recording studio. Because Jed just, you know, he's got a few scenes left. He's got to keep pumping and pushing the music.
Maximize that career.
Mm-hmm. And so they head to a recording studio. He says, you know, you put me on the pageant stage, so now I want to put you on the spot, and we're going to write a song together. Mm-hmm. And they basically sit and brainstorm all their favorite moments and write a song. It was basically, it's like every group date we've seen before. Like, they've done this date as group dates. So it was basically that. Very boring. And yeah, they get in the booth, they sing, and while they're in the booth, Jed says to her, you know, do you ever feel like your heart is pumping out of your chest because you have to say something but you can't do it? And then he says to her, I love you. I can feel it. So
yeah, that was early.
Yeah.
Also, Jed just is, to me, the equivalent of, like, that guy, that, like, big dick energy guy that you, like, you know, he's very cute. He has a lot of swag about him. He's, like, kind of got an edge to him, but you know you shouldn't be talking to him because he has that twinkle in his eye like he has a secret family and sociopathic tendencies. I don't know. Maybe because I'm 29 and I've dated a little while, I'm like, I can spot him now. But to me, he's that equivalent for, like, white Southern men.
Okay, yeah. I was like, I won't say he has all the swag, that much swag.
Yeah, no, for a white Southern guy, though.
For white Southern, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's definitely, he has, when you look at his face, there's like something behind the eyes, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm triggered. Okay, keep going.
So yeah, can't really trust him as far as I can throw him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he drops the I love you, which some can say this is strategic. He probably might have known going to his hometowns that his parents and family were going to be like, what the fuck is this? And so he tries to kind of secure his fate by dropping the I love you. Seeing as he has someone who's coming with all kind of dubious intentions and wrong reasons, all that shit, I would not put it past him. I want to hope that this guy is not this sociopathic, that he's saying I love you to somebody and knowing damn well he doesn't love her. But also, I don't trust him for nothing, so.
Yeah, he probably would.
So they head to his family home, and walking up, she says she's feeling very confident. And they turn the corner, and in his backyard, there's like a shit ton of people sitting outside. His dad does the run, jump, hug, which was kind of funny.
I know. That was cute.
But yeah, we meet mom, dad, sister, a bunch of folks, and they tell everyone about their date in Boston, playing with the Celtics. And they finally sit and eat, and Jed does a cheers to everyone. And then the mom follows up with her own cheers. And she says, here's to trusting your intuition and gut every day and sticking to your truth as it's beneficial to everybody. What is the shady boots ass cheers this mama is doing right now?
Because she knows this is her son and the only one who's whooping his ass is her, okay? So she went in and just went in on him.
Went in on him like that. If I was Hannah sitting there, that clearly was a cheers that was filled with coded language, subliminal messages. Yes. Like, it was saying a lot. I would be like, what the hell is this mama trying to tell me?
As soon as I toast it over, I'd be like, can we talk?
Yeah. Do you want to go step away and have a little chat?
Yeah.
Because damn, that was a warning if I've ever heard one. So Jed, he chats with his dad first, and the dad says, you know, she's a real hoot, she's funny, she's sweet, but I cannot get my head around all of this. What are you talking about, getting married, getting engaged, like,
Because your girl like, was nice. Just here drinking the Minute Maid. Yes. So
what is this? What am I doing this? On this show, and who is this girl, and what are you talking about getting married, like, what? So Jed, he's like trying to assure him, like, this is a huge commitment, but we've honestly clicked since the first day, and I can actually say I'm really falling in love with her. It's really real. And then the dad flat out asks, which became a theme of his whole hometown, how do you see this working with your career as a musician? And Jed is like, well, she's all for it. She's all in. And, you know, I know if I'm going to get married or engaged, it has to be somebody who's on board. And she's like totally on board. So, yeah.
Do you think they were using the word music career as code for a girlfriend?
Right. I was like, this can mean many things because you didn't just come here with career. You came with a girlfriend, too. Yeah. So which one are we talking about, bro?
And that nigga pays your rent. So he knows that your music career is not that booming.
Right.
You're like the equivalent of a SoundCloud rapper. So.
And now you bring up this girl that you're trying to get married to and I'm going to support both of y'all. What is this?
Oh, shit. Oh,
God. He's 25. He's still on insurance. He got another year. But you know the dad is watching that clock like, I've been supporting this music career forever. Mm-hmm. And now you're bringing up this other girl. What am I supposed to do with this? So now Hannah, she's sitting with the shady boots mama. And she says, you know, I'm so excited about Jed. He's been really good to me. He's been really good for me. And the mom, she just, like, can't even hide her skepticism. Like, she's not trying to hide it. She don't give a fuck. She says flat out, you know, it's a dreamy way to date somebody. And Jed is just another one of the guys. You know, you are the bachelorette. Like, all kind of attitude. Yeah. And like,
because first of all, she's been watching this show since it started. Let's not put that past her either, clearly. And she just also probably doesn't want to see this very nice, seemingly like innocent girl get hurt by her son.
Get wrapped up in all this mess.
Yeah.
Because the mom, the context is that the mom knows the career, but the mom also knows he full on had a girlfriend. that long ago. She might not know the details of whether they broke up, they went on together for this whole music career. She don't know all that. All she knows is he full-on was dating somebody else less than a month ago. And now I'm here with you, and y'all are talking about marriage. What the fuck? What is going on?
yeah. And if she's anything like I know my mom would be, she would be dying to talk to my brother. Be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, she would be so mad.
What is this? Why am I here? What are you doing with? Why are you dragging us all into this?
What are you doing with these ladies?
What are you doing with these poor, sweet little girls? What are you doing? So Hannah tells the mom, you know, well, with Jed, it's special. And I have told him I'm falling for him. And the mom was like, well, have you said that to all of them? And Hannah said, actually, no, which was a nice little zinger for Hannah because she hasn't said it to everybody. So that's good that she could say that to the mother. And then Hannah asked the mom, like, would he be ready for an engagement? And the mom just flat out was like, look, he's a musician. He's had to have different jobs where he can create time and space to do his music. And his path is very different. And kind of just like left it at that. I was like,
AKA, he's a broke nigga. And you probably are better off picking somebody else. Is basically what she said.
She was saying, like, he lives a very unstable life. Settling down to marry you just don't make no damn sense right now.
Especially because he's, like, pursuing this music way faster than he would pursue anything else. You're just getting in the way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of whatever this is.
Yeah. And, like, Jed ain't shit, but, like, I personally admire musicians. Like, I always admire, like, working artists. People who are actual visual artists, musicians, like any creator of any kind. People who are just like, this is my craft. I'm going to make it work. I will work little odd jobs and make this shit work. But I think with Jed, he's so premature in his music career. Like he's not reached a level of fame that he can really rest assured by saying, like, I'm ready to settle down. Like, I can make it fit in with my music. Like, he's still on the come up. Like, he's still trying to climb and get book shows and, like, things like that. You can't be doing all that and then settling down to get married. It'd be one thing if he was at a certain level of fame that he, not really fame, but a certain level of success with his music that he could see juggling it. But you can tell his parents, like, they're like, look, that nigga still sleeps on the couch downstairs. I am still paying for that phone bill. Yes. And now y'all talking about getting married? Like, no.
And, like, he doesn't want to derail that dream, which, as you said, much respect to anybody who does that, because it's a lot easier just to have a 9-to-5 job.
Absolutely.
But that's not the case for Jed.
No. So Hannah sits with the sister. The sister, first of all, she had a fantastic head of hair.
I ordered hair vitamins immediately. Oh, I was like, oh my God. I thought it was a wig at first, but then I was like, no, that is her hair that running out her head.
Yup. It was thick and long.
She was really pretty.
She was so pretty. Really like cute face and then just like the hair to match it. Yeah. So Hannah sits with the sister and she asks her, like, are you worried about Jed? Like, you know, considering like where he's at with his career, like, and that being with me, he can potentially like, that would take him away from his music. And the sister, she's just like, I'm very protective over Jed. Like, she was not playing around. I'm very protective over Jed and him falling in love with you. I'm not sure if it's a good thing. And then they, like, cut away. That pissed me off because I wanted more from this scene.
Me too. But without Hannah there.
I just wanted to hear all the sisters' thoughts.
Yeah, me too. Because I wanted to know if she is protective over Jed because she knows he's going to get stomped on all over the internet and everyone's going to hate him because he has two women. Or if she's saying that because she, like, doesn't like Hannah.
Yeah. I think it's the former that she knows that a lot of shit is probably going to come out about him. And I don't know if him getting wrapped up in all this is the best thing for my brother. But yeah, I'm kind of mad that they like cut away. It kind of made me feel like there might have been some like dubious Franken editing in the scene. Like, did she actually say, I'm not sure if it's falling in love with you is a good thing, or I don't know. They just cut away, and then we never heard anything else from the sister in that scene.
Right. Yeah.
It's very bizarre. But basically, the sister is also not on board. So, and then Jed sits with his mom, who, you know, she still ain't buying none of this. She says, it doesn't at all feel realistic to me, but you're the one living it, so. Talk about mother support.
I know. But she's probably been saying this for years. When he's playing this damn guitar, singing with his flat-ass voice. This is your life, son. You go ahead. You playing at the gold doubloon tonight? Okay.
Doesn't feel at all realistic to me, but you're the one living it. Like, I feel like she could have been talking about so many things in his life. Oh, God.
Yeah, not who he's about to marry.
Right. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. So he says, you know, I feel like I've fallen in love. And she's flat out, she's like, I'm surprised. Like, I think she's beautiful. She has a nice personality, but I think this is crazy. Like, and he said, she said to him, like, I told her, she asked me if she thinks, if I think that you were ready for this before going on the show. And he's like, I told her flat out that you were not ready for engagement. And the mom in her confessional is just still being honest. She's like, to see him considering all of this is a little surprising. But then was just like, you know, these are the things we do for love. So we kind of just like washed our hands of it, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, they gather back with the family. Hannah and Jed say their goodbyes. Hannah kind of gives her little final words. The sister, quick zoom in on the sister's face. She does not look very impressed. She's over this entire thing. And Hannah says in her little confessional, like, I did not get the validation I thought I would get. And their concerns about, you know, his music versus me are valid. So she had to admit first, she would be a damn fool to leave there and be like, I don't know where they're talking, why they're so worried about, like, everything that they were saying, their skepticism, their questions about how you're going to juggle this shit with his music career, like, all of it is very valid. And so she has to admit that, which she did. And, yeah, I would just say, overall, like, his family, you can tell, is way more pro-music than they are pro-Hannah.
Yes.
Because they're seeing that both of these things can't happen together. So if they had to choose one or the other, they all seem to be choosing the music for Jed. Music.
Yeah, probably because that's what Jed told them when he was packing his bags.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going on this show for my music, so thanks for the support in that. And now they show up.
See you in 3 weeks.
Right.
And now he's back 6 weeks later talking about engage to this girl.
I'm like, this is not what... Oh, God. He's putting his family through the ringer.
I know.
So Hannah, she's in her confessional crying. She's all confused. This was not the hometown she was expecting of Jed, who started off as the number one seed, and now he has dropped all the way down. So the next day, presumably, the next whenever, Hannah is standing on a balcony in this long green gown and talking about how she's in a very impossible situation, and she's saying how, like, she's right there with each of these guys, like, pretty much neck and neck with all of them, and doesn't know who the hell is gonna go home, what she's gonna do, who's leading or outweighing the other, like, everyone is pretty much like even keeled. So we eventually pull up to Bachelor Mansion, and the guys are all standing inside waiting for the roast ceremony. And Hannah, she's off to the side talking with Chris Harrison, telling him again, like, there's no clear front runner in my head. And she's just hoping that when she walks in there, she knows what she's going to do.
Which is so crazy.
Which is wild. So she walks in. The guys are all waiting there. I loved, loved, loved that they positioned Tyler next to Luke so you can see just how minuscule Luke is next to 6'2 or whatever the fuck Tyler, who was just completely towering over him. And so Hannah gives a little speech about hometowns and then goes straight into the roses. First rose goes to Peter. Next rose goes to Tyler. And then she obviously has one rose left, and we have Jed and Luke standing there. Both guys have said I love you to her. Which is interesting because Peter and Tyler have not said it. So the two that dropped the L-bomb are actually the bottom two. So the theory of dropping the L-bomb at hometowns actually did not work this season. But yeah, it's time for the last rose. Hannah just looks so nervous and unsure. She picks up the final rose. She keeps looking around the room. She's playing with the rose. She clearly just doesn't know what she's going to do. And then she eventually just walks out the room. So in the hallway, she's still holding onto that rose. Chris Harrison asks her, like, what's going on? And she says, you know, I can't make a decision. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I've had the time. And she says, I don't think I'm diving in with any of the relationships. I don't know how I'm going to close the door on a relationship that just isn't done. Like, I haven't dived all the way in to even feel like I can close the door on any one of these.
Yeah, I feel her on this one, though.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense what she was saying.
Yeah. Because you probably only had, like, pretty positive moments up until this, unless you're Luke P, and then you just get away with whatever you feel like doing. But to have only positive moments, have a meh hometown, and then be like, you gotta go, feels like almost you're ghosting someone. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't feel right. Yeah. So I get it.
Or you're breaking up with them right when it's like still kind of getting good. So as she's figuring out her shit, the guys are inside. They're all talking. So Peter, Tyler, and Jed are off to the side having their little boys chat. Fucking Luke, who nobody can stand, is off by himself, just standing there.
He can talk to Jesus.
Exactly. But yeah, the other three, they're just full on talking shit about Luke. Not even trying to whisper. Peter flat out, nice little Peter, was like, there's no way she doesn't see what we don't see. Like, we like was just like talking shit. Loved it. So Hannah with Chris Harrison is saying, tonight I don't think I can see where I've exhausted a relationship with any of them. And so I don't know what I can do. Cause that's true. Like, you're supposed to be sending home someone who you feel like you've exhausted all the chances. You're ready to close the door. And with all of them, she just doesn't feel like she's ready. Although, of course, all of this sounds crazy because Luke is a fucking psychopath who should have been gone home. And Jed, we know the context that he ain't shit, but even now, based off of that hometown, he should be going home.
Yeah, he should go home.
Yeah. So I don't know what the hell she's talking about, but I mean, I see her point, but also with the two that are left, it doesn't make sense. So, so Hannah heads back in and she says to the guys, you know, every decision I've made up until this point, I've known what I was going to do. And today I can't do that. I can't give out a final rose. So they're all kind of standing there like, what the fuck's happening? And then Chris Harrison comes back into the room and he's holding two roses. And Hannah says, you know, I want to continue with all of you. Next rose goes to Luke. And she gives one of the two roses to Luke. Jed's face at this point is in complete disbelief and he's kind of fucking pissed. You can see in his pace. He's like, what is this? And before she calls Jed's name, she kind of like smiles at him and he smiles back and then he like quickly looks down at the ground. Like, he's just, this is ridiculous. So last rose goes to Jed. So now all four guys got a fucking rose. And basically Jed and Luke were like tied for going home essentially. And now they're both staying. So they're kind of giving like pity roses in a way. It's like a weird ceremony. It's a weird rose that she was awarded to both of them.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fact that Jed went last, I know he was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I know he was feeling some type of way. So Jed is pissed, and in his confessional is definitely not holding back from saying how he feels. He says, it doesn't feel like I've gotten a rose at all. I can't believe the decision came down to me versus someone who's been a complete scumbag this entire process.
Yep.
I don't want to be in the same category as him. It feels like it was a toss-up between him and me. And
Well, it was.
And I'm just so unsure about all of this. Which, yeah, that fucking sucks. That fucking sucks. Luke P is somebody who's been riding on everybody's fucking nerves this whole time. Every roast ceremony, you're just hoping and praying he gets to go, and then here's the one where you finally think he's gonna go, and it's like, nope, actually it's come down to the both of you, and I'm gonna give both of you pity roses. Like, what?
And actually, you were closer to going home, but I didn't feel like it.
Right. So come get this pity ass rose. I'm gonna pin on your pill. Yeah, and that was the episode, my friends. So next week is the week. It is the week of the Jesus Still Loves Me.
Yes,
preview
finally.
That we've been getting all season. So next week is Fantasy Suites. They are going to Greece. We see Hannah on a boat making out with Peter. We see Hannah in a sauna making out with Tyler. And then we see Jed sitting down with Hannah, and he flat out tells her, I need some clarity on Luke. And I'm so ready for that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so ready. I'm shocked that people haven't done it sooner, but I feel like you're always fearful of, one, you get so limited time that you don't want to spend your time talking about somebody else. But also, there's like a fear of bringing up anybody else and you looking like a petty, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I feel like everybody has been wanting to ask this question to her. Like, I need clarity on this Luke person because I'm starting not to understand how the fuck you're dating him and also dating me. And then we get the whole scene that we've been waiting for. Luke telling her about, you know, if you've had sex, I'm going to remove myself from the competition. And then her whole Jesus still loves me and I fuck somebody in a windmill. So can't wait for that.
I know. So excited.
So excited. That's next week, guys. We'll definitely be here to recap that mess. Can't wait.
Who gets the windmill?
Windmill, yes. But yeah, that's the episode, guys. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to tune into our live stream tonight at 8 p.m. All the details are in the description box. And as always, rate, review, subscribe, hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, tag us in your story, share us with the world. Yeah, all that good stuff. See you next week.
That's it. Yeah, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.